So, I'm going to Weird Al concert on Thursday.
What's the occasion?
There being a Weird Al concert.
Okay, that counts.
Did I make it back first?
I guess that's a yes.
That means I win.
Not really. You still have to be here.
Well,
man, now
granted, he's here and not having explosive runs, so...
I know how Kengo feels now. Exhausted and sweating from the effort of taking a shit.
This is what I walk back to.
Is your head ringing?
Yes.
I think that should be the opening.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1. And now it's time for another Superhero Time. With your hosts, XV.
Nothing's worse than a stale douche.
Hey, Mickey.
She's f***ing a dog.
Paladin.
And with just a bit of leg hair.
Ken.
Yeah, actually, he gets beat off.
And Fort Max.
Myth confirmed.
Alright, it's superhero time, and after taking a week off to recover from our guest hosts last time, we're all the usual cast back together again. Paladin?
Hello?
Who has recovered from his horrible case of SIDS. Hey, Mickey.
Yo, yo.
Ken.
Blah, blah, Digimon, blah, blah, pretty cure.
Except that's not as funny since Wingus did it. I don't know.
It really isn't, but eh.
It was hilarious when he did that. Because it was so true.
Yeah.
It was.
Oh, well.
And, of course, Fort Max.
Hello.
So, you know, stuff, and not much going on, even for a week off.
Samurai's coming back.
Allegedly. October 1st.
Sure.
It'll
why
be,
not?
Yeah, it'll be
Samurai's coming back to lead in for, like, the past 3 months.
I know at least the last few weeks we've talked about, you know, okay, when's Samurai coming back? Because it's been gone for a while. But with, you know, potential air dates for new episodes, all we can really conclude is good things don't last forever. Too good to be true. Such a boring, boring show. Speaking of which, I made an interesting observation at Target last week, where in the absence of any of the Girl Ranger figures, all they had was a bunch of Blue Ranger figures.
Yeah, I saw a lot of those actually at Walmart the other day. Just a stack of the regular Blue Ranger and the Mega Ranger.
I didn't even see any of the regular Blue Ranger. There was too many Mega Blue Rangers taking up peg space.
When I say a stack, I said I saw one of the regular ones, I should say. And then the rest were just all Mega Blue Rangers. It's weird.
But yes, it's just hilarious to me that the Ranger they call out in the show for being, you know, boring and such.
Unlikable.
Yes. That's the one that's not selling now.
Isn't like unlikable the entire cast though?
Also boring.
Yes.
Yes, but you know, they didn't go out of their way to actually say so outright in the dialogue of the series for anybody else.
Because they didn't have to.
Because it wasn't written in Shinkenger.
I don't even think they called Ryunosuke boring.
No, Ryunosuke is kind of crazy.
Yeah. It must be kind of the result of being a kabuki dancer.
And then them taking everything out from that in this show, and thus, they're left with nothing.
Well, you know, being a competitive swimmer is almost identical to being a kabuki dancer.
Oh, of course.
Wow.
Because...
Well, they both wear lots of makeup.
But that is the thing that gets me about Samurai, is that it's like they'll take all the stuff from Shinkenger, and then but when they remove stuff, they don't always replace it with things.
You know, I missed the things last week.
Eh.
He's over it now.
Yeah, I don't care at this point.
Well, we'll
I had a thought of the perfect way to solve the whole female ranger situation.
Not have any?
Just have an all-male team.
So what, when they,
Just have 5 dude rangers.
two and
skirts. And then when the Sixth Ranger comes along, have the Sixth Ranger be the girl. Because Sixth Ranger stuff sells regardless of no matter who it is.
That would be an interesting experiment, at least, to see if that trend held up if Six was a girl.
And plus, then the girl could actually be interesting and a badass. Because they'd be the Sixth Ranger. They'd have to be, by definition.
Okay, but which thing would be stronger, though? The complete inattention to a female ranger, or the build-up to make Sixth Ranger, you know, super awesome?
I'm pretty sure the Sixth Ranger character type would override the female character type. Because, you know, the female character type is weak and will be crushed.
They'd cancel each other out and she'd be dead inside a month.
They'd kill her off and replace with a dude.
Exactly.
Or a robot.
A dude robot.
Or a ball of light.
Yes, you'll get your female Sixth Ranger, but there will be no human form for her.
Oh, so it's going to be like Omega Ranger.
Hence that could actually still work. Like a female Gosei Knight.
Just doesn't look female, but it's voiced by one.
Kind of like your mom?
Oh, yeah.
No, actually, that'd be interesting if they did, when they adapt Gosager, if they did, you know, dub Gosei Knight's voice female. Somehow I don't think it would
actually,
really
they're going to have Data turn into Gosei Knight.
Well, except they can't, though, because, you know, Data grows and fights, too.
Logic? So it'll be the ostrich, then.
There you go.
I don't know. I've been watching some old Season 3 Power Ranger shit. If they can get Zoo Ranger, Die Ranger, and Cocker Ranger all in the same scene, I'm pretty sure they could handle that. I would love to see what Japan's reaction to those episodes being subbed for them would be.
Well, they didn't go past the wedding, I don't think. And
they didn't even
they should have.
Yeah, they didn't even get to the wedding. Those were the episode before that was the last one that got dubbed.
That's a crying shame.
They missed out on all the really
the Alien
shit.
Ranger saga.
And on Zeo.
Yeah.
They got Turbo though.
Oh. Well, you know, Zeo's not so important, though, and neither is Turbo, really, because Season 3 of Power Rangers was where, you know, the crazy adaptation collisions really kicked in.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's an actual recognized trope, adaptation collision.
It is now.
Yeah, I mean...
Robotech, MMPR, Voltron.
Sailor Moon.
Exosquad, kind of.
Sailor Moon was just a straight-out dub.
What was yours, Mickey?
OS.
Exosquad, kind of, in the toy line.
Yeah, in the toy line.
Really?
Yeah, in the tail end of the Exosquad toy line, there was Robotech-branded stuff.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, it was just Robotech toys with the Exaforce branding on it for some reason.
I remember the lawyers were so happy about that, too.
Oh, God. Don't screw with Harmony Gold's lawyers.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame that... It's kind of a shame Across Frontier will never get dubbed.
Yeah.
It's such a
That'll
pretty
take
series.
More than a nickel.
That would, that would
more
take,
or less than...
That would take somebody dying.
Yeah.
Your mother?
Everybody that works for Harmony Gold.
Well, no, Paladin, not your mother, because that would not require more than a nickel. Keep consistency here, you know.
Why? We never have before.
Man has a point.
Yeah, right you are. So yeah, Power Rangers Samurai episodes in October.
Maybe.
Fear.
Mark your calendars.
Well, we know how about, well, we know how the track record is with the stuff
October's and Power Rangers
in October.
Where are those episodes on Nickelodeon anyway, or Nicktoons, was it?
Well, we got them on Netflix instead, and that's probably actually better.
It is.
Oh, I know what's going to happen. They'll never air the last half of Samurai, and it'll just show up on Netflix sometime next year after Gosager adaptation starts.
Sure.
That'll be perfect for them.
And yet, I wouldn't care if that actually happened.
Actually, now that I think about it, isn't Nickelodeon kind of notorious for just kind of holding stuff off? Because I think they did the same thing with Avatar.
Avatar seems like a bad example to use for this, though, since, you know, there's, like, animation and stuff to be done for it.
Oh yeah, but it's like they aired like the last chunk of it. Like
I would say, Nickelodeon is not nearly as bad for that sort of thing as like Cartoon Network.
Oh, definitely not. Hi, Young Justice.
I don't know. Do you remember the dub of the first two seasons of Zoids?
Oh, no. Yeah, those last four episodes.
Yeah, they held them back so long that they actually ended up finally kicking all four of them out in a marathon that they hyped up for a month, saying the the missing episodes or whatever.
Yeah, because the morning showing would always run up right until those last four episodes, and then they just restart the entire series.
And then they never ran those four episodes again.
Nope.
Then there's the bullshit they pulled with Reboot, where they aired season four one time.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Well, that's all season four is worth watching.
Be that well, as it
if
may...
If you missed it, though, it's kind of irritating.
It's like, when they started Justice League, they started putting out like as soon as it was done, like, so there was these huge gaps, kind of like Young Justice, between episodes.
Except I don't even think Young Justice was a result of not having more done yet. I think Cartoon Network just being dicks.
Sure,
I'd believe that.
I'll throw the shit in DVD anyway, so whenever they air it, it's kind of irrelevant.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask too. Did Reboot season 4 come out on DVD?
Yes, it came out on a botched DVD a while back, and then came with the Shout Factory DVDs here recently.
See, so it may have taken 10 years, but eventually you got to watch season 4 again if you missed it the first time.
And that lovely cliffhanger.
Yeah, but the audio still kind of screwed up either way.
Oh, good.
What did they do this time?
Apparently Reboot was encoded by the same people that Tiffany Han employs. Because, from what I understand, they made the show at, like, 15 frames a second, but TV airs at 14 frames a second or something along those lines.
Jesus.
And 25 so they, like, to 24,
slow the
probably.
Episode down to make it match up correctly, but that affects the pitch of the audio, so you have to pitch the audio up, and it creates all these weird artifacts in the sound.
Awesome.
Yeah. And
is
so
that
the original season
show?
TV, everyone sounds really bassy all the time. And then the new season 4 DVD, that there's these weird hiccups that you can hear in the music.
Is it just on season 4?
No, the hiccups are in season 1 through 4 on the Shout Factory discs. Yeah.
I'm going to buy those too.
The original season 3 DVDs have no problems, amazingly. But they're also kind of expensive.
Yeah.
I have them. Haha.
Damn it.
Huh. I bought those DVDs before I had a DVD player.
You know, I don't even remember what the first DVD I ever bought was. But that's not really important right now.
Let's do a Toku podcast at some point today.
Although I'm kind of enjoying what we've got going right now. But yes, let's get back to the important things, which is not Power Rangers Samurai. And really probably is not the new Climax Heroes game coming out that really should surprise no one, because Climax Heroes is like Deno.
Pretty much.
Except Deno's good.
Parts of Deno are good.
I'm sure Climax Heroes is good if you just want, fighting game.
I'm picky on my fighting games.
Shut up. Well, there's a Dynasty Warriors ripoff Sentai game coming out sometime soon-ish. Although, I forget if it's on the 360.
It's Wii, because the commercial starts with a kid crossing the nunchuck and the Wiimote. Like
right,
does.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go.
And why would it be on the 360 anyway?
I don't know, just to make it more difficult.
All the 360s in Japan got evicted.
I know.
They shoved them all out to the reactor to cover it up.
Yeah, it's like, I think, didn't like the second Dynasty Warriors Gundam game, like, it came out for 360 here, didn't come out for 360 over there.
Because nobody there has a 360.
Exactly.
That's because in Japan, a 360 takes up 90% of your house.
Yeah. What about the original PS3?
Japan's already hot enough as is. That needs something else overheating in it.
Right.
My original PS3 is like twice the size of my 360.
Yeah, but that's a Sony thing, so it's okay.
Okay.
Except when it steals your information and then screws you over.
Yes.
That's also a Sony thing.
Yeah, especially the screwing you over part.
They have that copyrighted.
But again, Toku podcast.
And then they what? Leased it to Mattel.
Yeah, the Dynasty Warriors Sentai game sounds interesting, because what could be a better format for a Sentai game than a giant beat-em-up?
Pretty much.
Assuming
and reused locations wouldn't be out of character.
That's right.
You go to the rock quarry, or the next side of the bridge.
Or the concrete pipes.
Or that arena.
Right.
The dump truck graveyard.
Yeah. that beach over there.
The other rock quarry.
That the burned out buildings. Thing.
Factories number 135.
The abandoned warehouse district.
The field of shipping containers.
Oh yes, yes.
The pipe yard.
I already said the concrete pipes.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Wherever the heck that bucket wheel excavator is.
But see, if it was an American game, it would be all just take place in the park in Angel Grove.
Or the suburbs of Angel Grove. Again, season 3 of
damn park.
Again, no, season 3 of Power Rangers, where half the fights took place in suburban streets.
And the other half took place in a variety of different deserts that were all the same Vasquez rocks.
Yes.
Or the next dimension.
I was watching Ninja Quest the other day when Billy said they had to look for a certain rock formation. I was like, I know where they're going. And sure enough, they went there.
Yeah, the same one the command center is sitting on.
Yeah, that always threw me as a kid. I was like, wait, it took you that long to get there? God, Billy, I thought you were supposed to be smart.
Look, you can be book smart and still not know how to read a map.
This is true.
Also, Zordon's dead
in a fire. Yeah, Zordon probably sent him the wrong way because he was pissed off about them breaking the Zords.
I just got you new ones last year. What the hell is this?
And there's not even enough left of them to rebuild them. We just got the suits, too.
Yeah, that's the most screwed up part of it, too.
Well, you know, if they hadn't gotten the suits, they couldn't have really done that in the first place.
Well, and they even had the Thunder Megazord suit as far back as when they were re-editing the last third of the Zoo 2 battles.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Was there other stuff going on? I can't remember anymore.
Figo Arts Amazon is out.
Is it?
Oh, and Kaiza.
And G Deno, but I don't think anyone gives a f about that.
That's Police Car Deno?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of cool looking.
Episode Yellow?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, Episode Yellow about D and the Cyan Rider.
Right.
Cyanider? No? Okay.
No. But yeah, that's kind of it, isn't it?
Yeah, more Forza stuff is continuing to come out and being impossible to find. But
that's all the news that matters.
Fortunately, I don't care about any Forza merchandise.
I'm just waiting on what I have that's stuck in customs.
But, you know,
anything from Forza, it will be that module change thing.
I'm kind of disappointed with how they ended up doing that. I was looking for, like, you know, you pop off the whole forearm and replace it with a rocket. Not slide the rocket over the forearm that stays there.
I think for kind of being a budget line, that's about what you probably expect.
And I do want to see how they'll handle future releases for that, though.
How do you mean?
The other switches and accessories and shit?
Well, all the switches are interchangeable between forms, it looks like, because I think the red one comes with, like, magic hand and hopping and...
Yeah, I mean, if they release 4 new add-on parts per full form change...
There'll probably be more than 3 form changes, so.
Right. I'd be surprised if there wasn't.
There'd have to be 10.
Well, look at last year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it only
before that.
It only took until Double to break Kuga's form change record.
Yeah, and then O's obliterated it.
Yeah, in one episode.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, O's.
That is kind of one thing I am liking more about 4s is that they're not 500 different form changes so far.
Yeah,
well, switches are pretty much the same damn thing.
Yeah, they're a little bit more unintrusive, I think.
Really, I will say my biggest disappointment with how they put together the toy line is that these switches are not self-contained electronics themselves like Gaia Memories.
Oh, I'll agree on that. If that were the case, I would just be buying switches and not even caring.
Yeah, I mean, why even bother with the driver then?
Which might be why they did that.
Maybe. But, well, no,
Gaia Memories sold really well, so.
And the kids in Japan will want, you know, the belt. Oh, that's what they're targeting for, mostly.
And
it was a bonus.
Sorry.
I was just saying we were a bonus. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was impossible to find the double driver when it was out for a while, too, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Although, if it's true that Korea will be getting double around the end of the year, hello, Avenue to double drivers.
Well, there is one thing on that, though. Don't, like, the Korean toys have, really softer sounds on them?
Well, what I've heard of the Deca driver, it's, like, identically electronics.
It just comes out not as loud.
I haven't heard anything like that.
I could have sworn it was one of those other Asian countries.
Well, how loud do you need your toy to be?
Besides, with the double stuff, they'll look at it this way. You know, once you have the belt, it doesn't matter what Gaia Memories you have.
That's true,
because
the sound comes
out
the Gaia Memories, not the belt.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
Exactly. You know, you can get your Candy Toy, Cyclone, Joker, Trigger, and Luna memories if you want the sounds. No lights, but, I mean, who cares?
That's true.
So
I hope they release the double driver, because I totally want one.
Me too.
Yeah, I kind of do now.
I mean, the more time that passes since Double has ended, the more I want Gaia Memory stuff. It's really weird.
Yeah, I have, like, only one Gaia Memory I picked up at Botcom, but it's constantly getting clicked on and off.
I've got the deluxe DuPont memory with the first 26 memory sounds. And that's it.
I don't have any.
I want a Skull Magnum. But anyway, how about shows?
Yeah,
how about it?
Okay, and now for the next hour, Ken is going to talk about Forze. And seriously, Ken, if it is for the next hour, I'm going to kill you.
No, that's quite all right. Okay, let's see here.
That no, seriously, kneecaps, dude, kneecaps.
Oh, I understand. Trust me. You know where I live. I know all that. Anyway.
Oh, before you start that, speaking of knowing where people live, Mickey, how's Rita coming along?
I should finish up with her tonight.
Okay, cool. Assuming we don't keep you on the show too long.
Yeah, assuming.
Yeah, so Ken, hurry it up.
Anyway, leaving off for last week was Kingo is shaking Gintaro like he is a British nanny.
Yay, old references.
Yes, but before they can kill each other, Yuki breaks it up. And Kingo hops out of the power dyser to just snatch the belt off of Gintaro's waist. He then subsequently causes Gintaro's brain to melt as he spouts off a bunch of techno babble, which to explain what the Zodiarts are, which is basically dopants except people get shot out of the body.
Sure.
Why the hell not?
It worked 2 years ago. Why not?
Well, except 2 years ago, the DuPont was the body.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Regardless, I do like that scene where he just spouts all that techno babble and Gintaro is physically taken aback by it, though.
Try talking to a hardcore Star Trek nerd for 5 minutes. You'll see.
Oh, I know. Anyway, the one thing Gintaro didn't do was shut off the switch after he destroyed the Zodiart. So, somebody, looking around, picks it up. While Gintaro is trying to help find out just what the hell is going on, because he wants to actually help Kengo, even though Kengo tells him to f*** off.
Yes, well, that's because, you know, Gintaro is going to befriend the shit out of him.
Yeah. Speaking of befriending the shit out of people, Gintaro comes up to a bunch of the punks that were in the lunchroom last episode.
Cue running joke number one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And of course, and then he beats the ever-loving shit out of them.
It's nice that while Gintaro comes across as an idiot, he's more than capable of not getting his ass handed to him.
Now, that's the entire point. He's basically Boncho Rider.
Who?
A Boncho.
I'm lost here.
Atypical Japanese punk kid, juvenile delinquent, like, you know, the main heroes of Yu Yu Hakusho or
Cromartie High favorites. School.
Yeah.
You keep referencing these things I've never heard of before.
That's because we're smarter than Fort Max.
Actually, before he beats the shit out of all those people, we do have a brief scene with Daimonji and Miyu again to remind us that they are a bitch and an asshole.
Like we needed reminding.
Captain Football and Queen Bitch.
And his huge nostrils.
Okay, Captain Nostrils, whatever, I don't care. Captain Football sounds more Japanese, though.
Captain Football. Sounds like like what a Japanese person would think of as a U.S. superhero.
Well, no, I mean, see Tiger and Bunny for those ideas.
Yeah, but Tiger and Bunny is awesome.
Yes, but I could see one of the B-team superheroes being Captain Football very easily.
Oh, yes! I totally could.
I'm sorry, back on track now.
Yes, while Gintaro and Kengo are out trying to flesh out the Zodiart, they are also not in class.
Of course not.
Gintaro is actually at the rabbit hutch, rifling through all of Kengo's shit, trying to figure out what's going on. When he realizes...
It's fine, because they're friends now.
Yeah. In Gintaro's mind, anyway. But he realizes they are not on Earth. They are on the moon.
All it took was looking out a window.
Yeah, well, seeing Earth floating around right above your head is probably a, you know, bit of a tip-off.
A little bit.
For Rita.
Yuki comes across him, and after one awkward scene of...
I don't think awkward's the right word, more like creepy.
Well, she is 16.
Well, so is Gintaro, isn't he?
Yeah, but I'm thinking more creepy and... terms of how people reacted.
At least that conversation wasn't taking place in the pool in the next episode.
This is true. But we get there.
Yeah. One thing at a time, Fort Max.
Yuki takes him out to space and has this talk about partners and such, which is, of course, once again, we are still riding on doubles coattails.
But not doing it as well.
And we learn that Kengo's father was the one who designed the Astro Switches and all the weapons for Forze.
And the one who died last episode.
Yeah.
Just in case you couldn't tell.
Yeah. And of course,
they're shown the runes of the moon base, which we couldn't really see because they just showed us a black pit.
I think that's the point.
Yes,
that it's wasn't your mother.
No, I think the point is they didn't have the budget to show the entire thing again.
No, I think it's just that all it left behind was a crater. You can see on the other side of the rabbit hutch where it's just been blown off, actually.
Yeah.
So that explosion made a very big hole in the ground.
I repeat, are you sure it wasn't your mother?
Are you sure Cheerface Chippendale didn't do that?
No, because then I'd be laughing.
Anyway, Kengo is off testing Forze's bike, thinking that if he can use that, then, you know, maybe he can actually, you know, not puss out.
Another fine Shroud motor vehicle product.
Is that the one? No, that's not the same dirt track that Teru is using, is it?
No.
No, I think that was at a rock quarry somewhere.
Of course. Of course it was a rock quarry.
It was one of the many dirt bike tracks throughout Japan.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gintaro chases him down on a bicycle.
I guess Kengo wasn't driving that thing as fast as it looked like.
Yeah, what were you saying about that, Mickey?
Kengo thinks he's doing about 50, but in reality, he's only doing about 10. Like, Gintaro could have just walked up next to him.
Regardless, Gintaro puts his face in the dirt. And Kengo still doesn't think he has what it takes, and thinks he's just a freaking idiot. Which he is. But, at any rate, Gintaro gets a phone call from a mysterious girl says she knows who the Zodiar was. And Gintaro just forgets his bicycle and runs off.
Yeah, because that'll be so much faster.
Because Gintaro.
Yeah, pretty much. He finds Tomoko, the goth girl from the lunchroom in the previous episode, with her iPad, and accosts her violently.
Her iPad? That's Onk's iPad.
Well, she put a new case on it.
Yeah, but we learned that Gintaro's skill with women is not very acute.
Well, that's okay, because she's not very acute.
Well, I was just going to say that it doesn't really matter if his skill with women is good or not, because, you know, goth girl.
Gothlita. Yeah.
Plus, it's not like it's any worse than it is with guys, so...
Anyway, she traced the IP address of whomever posted the threat to the school from the previous episode, and thinks she knows exactly who the monster attacking them is. Meanwhile...
IP addresses do not work that way.
Yeah.
It's not the most horrible mangling of computer science I've seen.
No, that's the iPad in a few minutes. But I'll get to that.
As long as she doesn't say zoom in and enhance, I'm fine.
We're only 3 episodes in. The football team is preparing for their match when Daimonji's little butt monkey Mira comes up to him and pulls out the Zodiar switch.
Why can't these kids just bring guns to school like normal children?
It's Japan. It has to be a monster.
Japan has much more strict gun control laws anyway.
Now, the rubber monster controls, that's a different matter.
Right.
Gintaro, Yuki, and Tomoko come up and, you know, try to talk him out of it, but Daimonji just tells the kid to screw off, and he's off the team, by the way.
Go, Daimonji. Captain Football!
Yeah, Daimonji is an asshole. Yay for the guy written in at the writer, too.
Yeah, really.
Really, if he should have been named after anyone, it should have been V3.
No, that's Miyu, who is the bigger bitch, so... Anyway, Mira transforms into the Zodiart and gets shot out of it in some webbing, which is a little weird.
I wasn't sure what to make of that at first, either.
Yeah, I think I have to see what that does a few more times before I really can judge on that. It's just a little odd.
It's stupid.
It's the webbing that gets me.
Well, the thing is, the switch changes before he transforms that time, so I'm wondering if that's...
With ominous voiceover.
Yeah. So I think that'll play in somehow to explaining it, but...
Well, you know, spiders and webs have a lot to do with constellations.
Of course!
Yeah, I mean, that's totally what Orion was all about.
Anyway, Daimonji runs off like a bitch while Gintaro is getting tossed around before...
Like
Kengo
a salad.
Yeah. Yeah. The Zodiart tosses Gintaro's salad. And can I just mention, I am so glad that I have a monster name this year that I can take seriously.
Which one's
that? Supposed to Yummy?
I got used to Yummy, but god damn, Toei.
Yeah, Yummy was stupid.
Well, I'm sure it sounded cool in Japanese.
Anything sounds cool in Japanese.
I'm trying to think of a counterexample, but in the meantime, go on with the episode.
Yes, Kengo runs up with the forest driver and says he'll let him use it now. So Gintaro transforms and still gets tossed around because he actually doesn't know what to do with the system.
Again?
Just in general.
This is catch up for all the kids that missed the premiere last week.
Oh, okay.
Partly, and I think he also wants to show Kengo that he can help him. If he can't fight, he can tell him what to do.
Yeah, maybe.
Pretty much. So, space time again, and he takes the Zodiar outside to mercilessly destroy this poor black car.
Well, that's just the start of the property damage.
Yes.
And plus, that's the asshole's car anyway, so...
Oh, that would be so nice, actually. Actually, it might be. They got out of a black car earlier in the episode.
It's the same car.
Awesome.
I hope that becomes a running gag.
Alas, poor Captain Football's car.
Anyway, he uses the bike, whatever it's called, to do this, and he ends up blowing up the entire car. Still, Kengo tells him that you don't want to actually blow him up in front of the stadium, because at the state the Zodiac's at, he'll take out the stadium if he explodes.
So it's Kuga again.
Yeah. So how do you... yeah. So how do you accomplish this? He tells him to take it to the sky.
Well, see, I like Kuga's approach this better, where Kuga just rides the beat Gorum up and impales the Grongi on the horns. And drives like 10-20 miles with it before he kills it.
Is that the one he just beats into a bloody pulp?
No, that was after that.
Okay. So the power dodger comes up and makes a launch platform for the bike.
As seen in the opening.
Blasts the Zodiar into the air, launches the bike, plows the Zodiar out of the atmosphere, and then Gintaro kicks him. With a drill, of course.
Yeah.
And then the bike isn't seen again.
I imagine they're going to go through a lot of bikes.
I was kind of wondering about that, about how the bike manages re-entry.
We're going to need another Timmy.
I'm just going to think that there was like, you know, that entire arsenal of ride vendors? I think that there's that in the rabbit hutch somewhere. And they're just going to keep constantly going through bikes.
See, what they need to do is introduce a second series of switches that just hold items.
See, I would have gone with that besides the food droids.
But, I mean, you know,
Dragon Ball, kind of.
I was just going to say, that's fine even though Dragon Ball did that 20 years ago.
Oh, Kamen Rider pulls stuff from all sorts of shows all the damn time anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, after that over-the-top display, Kengo... not Kengo... Shotaro.
And boy, Ken, just think if there had been a gender switch in this episode.
Sorry, Gintaro, Shotaro, both are hot-blooded. Kind of throws me off. Anyway, he falls through the atmosphere, and we see a use for the parachute switch as he uses it to float down to the...
Probably the only use for the parachute switch.
Yeah, that's what I'm figuring. Anytime he does this, and I get the feeling this is not going to be the only time, he'll probably use the parachute switch.
Although, I'd be amused to see the parachute drill rider kick.
I want to see him use the parachute and the rocket and it, have a counter... As we'll see next episode, that's kind of, you know, entirely possible. Anyway, it seems like the Zodiac switch wearing off.
What?
It's like the Zodiac switch being deactivated has a effect of making Miura not be this little butt monkey, as he seems fine now. Not wanting to
kill
him.
It was because
Gintaro befriended him.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter, because now that this episode's over, we're never going to see him again.
Well, probably. That too.
Regardless.
Well, see, you know, immediately after the episode ends, he was expelled from the school.
And you know, going for the property damage, probably.
Well, yeah.
I have a theory about that, but it's not really pertaining to this episode.
When has that stopped us before?
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to get through this. Tomoko recognizes that Gintaro is, however, a Kamen Rider. Now, what is a Kamen Rider, you ask? Well, she flips the iPad over, and for some reason, this iPad actually can use Windows.
but I'm sure it's better than whatever the iPad comes with natively.
She says that there's an urban legend of masked heroes who fight evil, and we see Ultra handheld footage of Rider One, Super One, Black RX, and Kuga fighting monsters, as well as a newspaper clipping from when Futo Tower fell back in Kamen Rider W Forever.
Right.
So all riders are canon in Forze, making Decade make that much more less sense. But
well, not really, because Forze is just another universe where all these characters happen to exist.
Yeah,
linearly.
Let's go with that, because it's a lot.
We're stacking multiverses on top of multiverses here.
Welcome to Gokaiser.
Pretty much. It's not the first time I've seen something like this be done, anyway.
Oh, certainly not.
There's always turn A gun to fall back on.
Anyway, Kengo decides to let Gintaro have the Forze driver for now, until he sees the banner that Gintaro has strewn up in the rabbit hutch. Because Gintaro has founded the Kamen Rider Club, with Yuki as member number one.
Of course.
Yes, so the episode ends with Kengo trying to strangle Gintaro. I get the feeling this is going to be a running theme.
You know, somehow I think he's more capable of strangling and killing Gintaro than Ankh was capable of strangling and killing anybody.
Yeah, Kengo actually makes me think he would go through with it.
Kengo gets winded walking upstairs. There's no way he can kill somebody.
That's why he would run him over with the Powerdizer.
Well,
and
plus,
then pass out from the exertion of driving a car.
Plus, you know, once you've actually got your hand around somebody's neck, you don't really need to walk after them anymore.
No, see, Kengo can drive the Powerdizer without being on it. That's why he just has to run Gintaro over with it.
Sure. Either that, or he just has to figure out where the motorcycle's going to land.
Yeah,
I think even more remote control that would wear Kengo out, because he's kind of a PVM.
PVM?
Pussified vagina machine.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's the technical term now?
It is, yes.
Where did you come up with that, anyway?
I don't recall, actually.
I do really like Kengo's actor, though.
He's a really good asshole.
Yeah, he gets a really good asshole performance. You can really believe this guy is a dick.
Yeah.
Even more than the Die Rangers.
Anyway, next episode. It turns out that Kengo's father had designed 40 switches for Forze. It's just that they have to materialize them, develop them, and tweak them, because they were never finished.
Right.
Welcome to the gimmick for the rest of the show, folks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's fine. It's no really worse than Shroud sending gadgets through the mail.
Well, she didn't really send gadgets through the mail. She sent instruction books through the mail, and Philip had to build them himself.
Regardless, it's kind of the same thing. Kengo has to construct.
She may
have sent the gadget memories through the mail. I think they got the frog memory through the mail.
Yeah, and then the instructions for it.
Yeah.
But all Double's real powers you had from the beginning.
Yeah, this is true.
Right.
Besides Fang and Extreme, but yeah.
Technically Fang was in the beginning. We just didn't see it until halfway through.
That's true.
Which was also technically Begins Night, so that was the beginning.
That's what I'm saying.
Switch is number 9, Hopping, which turns out, as Gintaro tries to test it, to be a pogo stick, which causes great pain and distress for Gintaro.
And Kengo. Yep.
A small room was not the place to test that.
Proving that none of them are really that smart.
Yeah. Kengo
What? Who had him go in the small room to test it?
Kengo, because he wants Gintaro to suffer.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
So Kengo is smart. Yuki and Gintaro, not so much. Anyway, as Gintaro and Yuki walk out, they come across the cheer bitch and her squad. What Gintaro learns is that there is a queen festival coming up to decide the head of the female student body.
If they're having a queen festival, there's only one character that should be winning that crown.
We'll get to him.
Oh, Jake.
Gintaro decides to strut up to her and, you know, tell her to stop being such a bitch.
He wants to be friends.
Yeah, he wants to be friends, and she tells him that's absolutely impossible. So he makes a deal with her. If she loses the Queen Festival, he'll be her friend. If she wins it, he has to transfer out of the school. He's like, okay, sure, because I'll make the impossible possible.
Sure.
So
what the hell do you think he is anyway?
What does he do? He goes to meet up with his jock friends again. And once again,
he befriends the hell out of them.
Yeah, yes. Again.
With his fists.
Oh, I love writing jokes like these.
And then we meet Jake.
And of course, they're more bandaged up each time.
Well, they still haven't recovered from last time yet.
Yes, they meet Jake, who is the school information broker, effectively.
Among other things.
Yes.
He's more entertaining looking than Santa.
Yes, he's basically the Futo irregulars all rolled into one character.
He sure is a regular.
It's so nice to see Japan has such a progressive view of homosexuality.
He asks Gintaro what he'll offer him for his information. Gintaro boldly says, friendship, and looks over at the pile of bodies behind him.
I loved that.
Jake finds this very convincing, and Gintaro drags him off. Because he needs somebody to compete against Miyu in the Queen Festival competition, because nobody...
And Jake is it!
instead, they... Jake points out this flighty little bitch that...
Did you say slutty?
And flighty, but slutty works too, probably.
It's less flighty little bitch and more not wanting to get killed.
Well, yeah, but she has... her reaction when he says her stock could go up is... She's a flighty little bitch.
Yeah.
However, this isn't going to work out because a disembodied presence...
A disembodied piece of chalk.
Yes, writes on the chalkboard saying not for her not to compete after... and then she gets bitch-slapped across the room. It's at Zodi Art, unsurprisingly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So while she runs in fear, Gintaro transforms and tries to fight it, only to get bitch slapped himself by a slightly different looking Zodi Art. Who is.
Is it Lily Shirogane?
No. It is I'm going to assume we're going to call Scorpio.
Yeah. Scorpio. Just like the last one was Orion.
Yeah, while the chameleon Zodi Art runs after the girl. Scorpio beats the shit out of Gintaro.
All over the damn place.
Yeah, he runs out. He runs outside to so he has more room to fight. While Kengo then comes in and throws Jake up against the window, saying, "Don't talk about any of this." Of course, with that look on Jake's face, you know it's going to be not
that they're going to.
No, Jake, he's going to use this to his own advantage. It looks like, because that is not a nice look he has when Kengo leaves the room.
Nice hair, though.
Well, it's not like he looks nice to begin with.
Anyway, Scorpio continues to beat Gintaro's ass all over the schoolyard. So Gintaro decides to use the hopping switch and defeat himself.
Oh, dear.
And he blasts off.
Yeah. I like that.
Well, you see, Gintaro is confused, and so he has hurt himself in his confusion.
Ah.
Scorpio just
tried to kick and kept going and crashed.
I like that Scorpio just turns around and walks off because he's like,
yeah.
He's not a problem.
Yeah, and Kengo, who has been watching all this time, pays him no mind as he's just walking away.
Well, not like Kengo can do anything at this point.
No, but I mean, it's not like he's even concerned about it.
Well, and plus, he needs to do more. There are more important things to do, like to gloat over not having launched himself up into the air and crashing down.
Yeah, the fight was the that Zodi Art, though, is really cool, I think.
Well, Sakamoto for you.
Yeah, yeah, it's in good direction. Nice. It feels different than O's, and that, you know, it gives it a bit of freshness.
Yeah, I know there's some people who are, like, against how wire-foo-y the Sakamoto fight scenes are, but he does some good work.
Yeah, for wire-foo, it's, you know, pretty on TV.
And he does a lot of wire foo, but also the stuff that isn't wire foo.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of Sakamoto's wire foo because I think it generally looks awesome. But this,
it does.
The fight scenes in Forza have not impressed me at all. It's like he's asleep at the wheel.
I don't know. Well, he's directing the entire show now, so
Oh, is he?
No.
Isn't he?
They do rotating directors. They always have.
Well, no. I mean, there's still an overall series director. And every time I look, I still see Sakamoto listed as the overall series director.
I guess he could
do
action.
So maybe he is distracted.
Maybe he can do action direction for the whole series.
Well, I do think the action is pretty good. It's different from what we were getting in O's.
The action's fine. It just doesn't seem any different than anything else. I mean, there's some more wire foo, but it's missing the extra oomph that I saw in the double movie and in an SPD.
Well, the double movie had a bigger budget also.
Yeah, I was going to say the double movie's probably
SPD
not the
did not.
This is more in line with the double episodes that Sakamoto directed, like the Triceratops one.
Which coincidentally had somebody from Deca Ranger guest starring.
Yes.
Weird how that ends up working out.
But
so incestuous.
Oh, you want to talk about incestuous? The actor who
no,
played
No, that's okay.
Red... No. The actor who played Red Racer is married to the actress who played Deca Pink.
No, it's isn't it Re-Ranger? I don't think it's Red Racer.
No, it's Red Racer.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yep.
I sworn it was. Well, it's one of those Reds from the 90s.
Does he teach her about traffic safety in bed?
All night long.
Wonder if she found out about Inzarn yet.
So, after Gintaro... anyway, back to the show. After Gintaro proclaims that there is nothing that's useless, which is a interesting outlook to have.
Yes, well, that's probably the only way he can make it through the day.
He's never been on the show.
I was thinking that, but I was waiting to see if somebody else would pick up on it. Gintaro realizes that the bitch he was talking to before is not going to be helping them, because she's a bitch.
Who also got knocked across the room, so...
Yeah, she kind of got bitch slapped, so...
How appropriate.
Let's see, where is this? Okay, yeah. Yuki, after school, is at a science museum, and we see just how big of an aeronautics nerd she is.
It's not even really a science museum. It's like their
aerospace
museum.
Yeah, space museum. Well, Gintaro looks like he's...
Yeah, she's getting all hot over that space vehicle.
Yeah, and then Gintaro almost looks like he's coming on to her for a second. In reality, he wants her to participate in the Queen Festival because there is nobody else that will actually do it.
Oh, this will work out famously.
While
because
Kingo
Jake's
comes...
just not willing to cross-dress yet.
While Kingo comes
he already
up and...
is cross-dressing, I think.
Kingo says that she needs to participate because, well, he needs bait. As everybody who tries to compete against Miyu is being attacked by Zodiark.
He needs jailbait.
Yes.
Well, we got that.
This show has that in spades.
Especially in the next scene.
As we cut to a pool.
The pool.
The pool.
The f***ing pool.
Should we elaborate for the listeners at home?
Sure.
Apparently,
go for it, Ken.
This pool is used for...
pretty much any Japanese porn video that
wow,
takes place at a pool, it's that pool.
You seem excited to note this for Max.
No, I just find it hilarious and hope they sanitize the place first.
Yes! Anyway, all this...
It's probably not the last time some of those girls will be seeing that pool.
There's so many places I could take that, but...
And there's so many ways they can take it.
For a nickel.
So...
Miyu goes through all the presents she got earlier in the episode from all the her adoring fans and trashes every single one of them because she's a stuck-up bitch.
So since Queen Miyu bitch. Is apparently the most evil person on Earth, is anyone surprised that she's not covered in Yakuza tattoos?
This is why she's named after V3. And her friends are named after V3's friends, so, you know.
Well, that just works out
perfectly.
V3
was a troll.
What's your point?
Anyway, cutting
he
to
the... He did all his evil stuff when he was being watched. Knowing he was being watched by everyone.
This is very true.
Well, they are being watched right now.
At the competition, Mr. Suspenders tries to creepily sort of come on to Gintaro and company's teacher.
Again.
Yeah. She's only 21 too, and he's like
78.
Yeah, it's a little unsettling, actually.
He's the bad guy, isn't he?
So Miyu's only competition comes out the form of Yuki, who promptly embarrasses herself on the stage.
She's dressed as a probe.
Yeah, I really kind of. They do a good job of actually making you feel sorry for her, because she seems really enthusiastic about it. And Gintaro seems really enthusiastic about it. And Kengo realizes what she's doing to herself.
Goth chick is all hot and bothered over it. So she's
yes.
She really is.
Yeah.
And then comes the cheerleader dance.
Cheerleader cowgirl dance.
Yeah, I don't think I really need to say much about it except for that.
And it has video accompaniment.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So what were you saying about those JAVs in the future?
I think we should turn to Fort Max, because he seems to be the expert on that.
I don't know whether to be surprised or disappointed that they stooped to blatant fanboy pandering this early in the series.
Well, why not? I can think of some laws, why not? But
well, it was either this or somebody's butt again.
I think I'd take this over Nasca's ass, actually.
And then the chameleon comes back.
Yeah, the chameleon comes back, throwing all the girls all over the stage. So Gintaro pulls out some eraser and claps chalk all over the place to reveal it.
Where is he getting erasers from?
The chalkboard.
Why was there a chalkboard back there?
There was a chalkboard on the stage.
What convenience.
Back behind the curtains at the back, I make sense.
Now, I'm thinking personally that this Zodiart's probably one of those girls, and or the first one that ran off, and she's just faking it.
I'm sure she does that a lot.
Probably. But
there's
no other suspects, and even in double, they've always been really kind of obvious of who the culprit usually is.
Even in O's, of course.
Yeah, I think the only time that double ever threw me on that was the virus DuPont.
Well, anyway.
Anyway. Gintaro chases after the Zodiart, transforms, yells his catchphrase while running, with hands in the air. Which
I'm kind of over
someone else's cow move this time.
I'm kind of over space-time already. Kind of over.
Okay, y'all just all cut out of me for a second.
Actually, you cut out. Yeah, you dropped off.
Yeah. Anyway, space-time.
Good thing you weren't hosting the call.
He fights the Zodiart, gets knocked around a bit, and decides to pull out the hopping switch again. For the third time in the episode. Of course, Kengo thinks...
Are they trying to sell something to us?
Nah.
No. That couldn't be. Is there actually a hopping switch already? Or does that just not exist yet?
It hasn't come out yet, I don't think. Regardless, I think it's more Gintaro trying to...
Make it useful.
No, prove... Kengo wrong at every turn, every time he ever questions them for anything. It's like, no, this stuff tastes awful. It's like, no, it tastes great. Anyway, he manages to actually use it properly this time, and apparently a pogo stick can actually be useful in a fight.
If you say so.
For at least 5 seconds.
And then they fall.
Promptly switches to chainsaw.
Yeah, because
and then they fall in that canal again.
Yeah. See, they can use that canal every episode now because it's on the way to school.
Or is part of the school grounds.
Yeah.
$10 segs, that's when we see that canal will be repaired.
Yeah. Considering the CGI destruction after he uses the rocket drill kick again. Now the rider rocket drill kick.
Well, because he wasn't in space this time.
And he blows up everything around him but misses the Zodiart.
No, actually, the Zodiart shot the bridge all...
Oh, yeah.
Shot the bridge all up. And that's what caused the bridge to... destroy, and remember, there was no explosion from the rider kick.
That's right, he just plowed through everything so he didn't die horribly.
Right, he just... Yeah, I...
He pierced...
Zodiart just shot the heck out of the canal and ran off.
That's right. I forgot that part. Anyway, so Zodiart ran off, but back at the school, it seems that somebody has put up video of Miyu being a bitch at the pool.
I wonder if that might have been the Zodiart suspect.
It's either
Gee, I wonder.
I'm not sure if it's a Zodiar or if it's like Tomoko somehow hacking stuff just because she's a creepy little goth chick.
And she has an iPad.
Because that iPad can apparently do anything.
Well, of course. She has an iPad.
Yeah.
And a computer. Which, as we all know, can do anything.
Yeah, but next week it looks like Miyu actually gets some character development, and maybe we'll... Basically, everybody that's in the opening besides Yuki, that is supposed to be Gintara's friend, seems to be like this horrible, horrible asshole.
Yeah,
well, it is high school.
And he'll befriend the shit out of them.
Yes.
The opening kind of gives away the, where the series is going, doesn't it?
Well,
at least for the first, you know, 10, 13 episodes, probably.
Yeah, I think Miyu, Daimonji, Jake, and them all being, you know, horrible people is only going to last for a little bit.
And then they'll be completely uninteresting.
Eh, maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Depends on
what
they do.
You know what Tokusho handled high school much...
Much...
Oh, good. I was afraid that was my connection going. He's probably going to mention Mega
Mickey
Ranger.
Has your connection this week, XV.
It's because he's on that
damn
Mac again.
Apparently.
But yeah, the few episodes I've watched of Mega Ranger so far have been more... less awful with the high school setting.
Yeah, well, I think this is just all intentionally over the top.
So like Cromartie High School.
Yeah. It's entertaining for me, at least.
But where's Freddy?
I need to try to track
down. I
find
it all very tiresome and flat.
Oh, he's back.
I don't agree.
I've been back.
It depends.
Well,
just depends on your tastes, really.
Actually, you've been silent for about a minute, Mickey.
Huh.
We lost you in the middle of saying, you know what, Toku did high school, and then the next thing we heard from you was flat.
Oh, okay. Well, I was saying Cyber Squad.
Oh, okay. I assumed you were going to be talking about Mega Ranger.
I haven't got around to watching Mega Ranger yet.
Well, you probably shouldn't because it won't play right on your Xbox either.
And it's not finished.
Well, they did finally release episode 22.
After over a year.
Yeah.
Whoa. They also released an episode of Kuga today. Episode 5.
Yeah, they're just blowing
after
right through that. a month or so.
You know when they started Kuga?
like 5 years ago?
Exactly.
Why are they
Kuga
even
was
doing
new?
Kuga? It's already been done.
That's why they're doing it.
Well, it's been done, but the video quality is also really...
Well,
really
Midnight great. Crew is slowly doing V2s that might be
Oh, they started
better.
That, did they?
I know they did the first one, at least.
And though... Yeah, and they also have a second subtitle track that has
the
Grungy
translations. Finally.
Oh,
yeah, I
kind of like watching Kuga the first time without that, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, but I want the option there for,
later. Having the option is another thing entirely.
Okay, so that was Forze. Let's take a quick break before we get into 2 weeks of Gokaiger, because I've got the explosive runs again. Back
More
in a minute.
Kablam!
Ha-ha.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. And do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
And now back to action with Superhero Time.
All right, so let's go Gokaiger.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, Gokai-ni, yo-ho.
Paladin?
Alright, episode 29 starts off with Commander Nepotism having contracted a cold somehow.
Well, it must have been when he went down to Earth that time and, bled.
Got shot in the face.
Yeah.
In the arm.
Slow acting germs, aren't they?
Well, you know, he has an alien immune system, so it probably took a while to really hit him.
It's situations like this that I really just feel sorry for Domerus. Because he's just – it's like his suit is not expressive at all, but you can just see the suffering in his
Yeah, because he has to put up with this whiny pathetic.
Now, my
fish.
Favorite thing about this entire episode with Commander Nepotism is how after that one sneeze, that little nose guard thing is bent out of place.
Yeah, I guess
and
that
stays like that the rest of the episode.
I guess that whole Zen of being defeated thing didn't work out too well for him, did it?
Well, not when you have a cold.
Everything sucks when you have a cold.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to find your inner peace when you have a runny nose and sore throat.
And speaking of sucking, this week's monster of the week volunteers to go down to Earth and suck the joy out of human beings.
No. He volunteers to go down to Earth and suck the joy out of human women, specifically.
So he's going to take their food and their money?
Yeah, pretty much. Also,
and their pool.
Also their vibrators. And their shower massagers.
And their nickels.
Wow, I suddenly looked at his weapon as something entirely different now.
That's superhero time, ruining one tokusatsu for you at a time.
See, already this one episode of Gokaiger is already better than 2 weeks of Forze, and we haven't got to the credits yet.
Oh, yeah. I love Forze, but Gokaiger is just awesome like that anyway, so.
Gokaiger is on a whole other level.
Anyway, the Gokaiger are on Earth for lunch, I guess. When Guy asks Captain Marvelous why the hell Aim is on the team because she doesn't look, sound, or act anything like a pirate. And Marvelous just points out that he doesn't know jack about Aim.
Yeah, Guy seems to be making some insinuations there, too.
Well, he is Guy, after all.
Yeah.
Basically, he's asking Marvelous if he brought her on board so he could tap that.
I'd believe that if it was true. Lord knows he couldn't get anywhere near Luca.
Well, yeah.
You'll have to pay extra. I love that Guy keeps coming back, actually. For like 3 weeks in a row.
Well, you can definitely prove that Luca is not your mom.
Too expensive.
Yeah, your mom don't charge extra for nothing.
Luca's one of them high dollar whores.
High dollar or $5?
Well, compared to your mom, it's the same thing. You know, your mom is kind of like the flat rate plan. Where Luca is pay as you go. I'm sorry, we had an episode.
Gokaiger's come across a wedding for some reason, and the monster of the week attacks the bride.
How convenient. Right in front of them.
And then
they seem to have that problem.
Ability to change size at will.
Well, that's convenient.
Is anyone else disappointed that there's a toku show centered around a wedding and the bride doesn't become like a bridezilla? For real?
Well, not yet, anyway.
Maybe next year.
So, of course, they bust out the Zords to fight and summon Magi Dragon for some reason.
Because it hasn't been used for a few episodes, and they can still...
Because they haven't sold out yet.
Yeah.
And they never will, because it sucks.
When it goes on clearance at the end of the series for 1,000 yen, then they'll get rid of them. Maybe.
Maybe if they gave me 1,000 yen for it.
Yeah, that's almost like $25 now.
I was about to say.
But anyway, the monster proves he can shrink as well and enters Gojujin. So the Gokaio has to open fire on it, which is kind of cool.
It's revenge for all that kill-stealing Guy's been doing.
It's like, Marvel has no hesitation about doing this either.
Well, and then you get to the next part of the scene.
Which is wonderful.
Where I'm leaving an opening for Paladin to bring that
where
part up.
He shrinks down, enters Gokaio, and they just start shooting at him. And everybody just busts out shooting at him.
After the monster says flat out, "You're not going to shoot me in your own cockpit, are you?" Marvelous
goes, "Actually, it's not
everybody.
Yeah,
we
it's
are.
Just Joe, Luca, and Marvelous."
Of course.
And I like how Joe doesn't even look. He just pulls out his gun and points behind him.
Well, and there's that, and like I said, you know, Marvelous is going, "Hell yeah, we're going to shoot you in our own cockpit."
While Don and Aim are trying to stop them.
Well, yeah, of course, because Don's going to have to fix it.
Yeah.
And Aim just knows it's a bad idea.
But it worked. They ran the guy out.
I like that Luca is one of the stupid... You know, usually it's like the stupid male thing to do. I like that Luca fills that role in this series instead.
Because Luca is scary violent.
Yes. Speaking of scary violent, there's also Navi.
Yeah. Apparently Navi is one of the chickens from a Zelda game.
And shouldn't there be like a million more of her somewhere?
But I love the scene where they all come, where it goes into the main, monster goes into the main room, and then it is cut off at all the exits. And of course, Dawn is wearing a metal, is wearing a pot on his head and has a skillet in his hand.
Yeah, he's wearing a pot over his helmet.
Cut
yeah.
off at all the places where they don't have a set built.
Safety Someone car? Desperately needs to redub that monster chase in the Gokai Galleon with the Benny Hill theme.
Yes.
There's been a lot of things in Gokaiger that fit that music.
Get me a Benny. Everything fits that music, but
oh.
Get me a Benny Hill theme and I'll do it.
I can do it too.
So finally, the monster shrinks down and goes inside Luca's suit.
And speaking of Marvel's having no hesitation doing things.
Oh, it's beyond no hesitation. He was looking forward to it.
he claps his hands together, rubs them together, and done. No, you'll have to pay extra.
Yeah, Marv, you can't afford that one.
So instead, they bust out the bug spray, which works for some reason.
Have you ever tried to breathe a big cloud of bug spray?
That's true. I mean, if a human cold can bring down Gil, then, you know, a cloud of poison can probably stop that monster for a little while.
It might be a little moist, though.
Bring down Gil.
Ew.
You know what I meant.
That's what I'm afraid of.
A feather could bring down Gil.
So he gets away and blasts a huge chunk out of Gokai Galleon, but meanwhile, there's two other people watching the Megazord fight, talking about the ultimate power of Abba Ranger. So
but
I wonder who they
have the ultimate power of Abba Ranger?
Guy has the ultimate power of Abba Ranger, but the others technically don't.
But they can use the keys if they want to.
Well, they can use any of the keys.
No, don't know what that they could use them.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, half the team is sentenced to begin cleaning up Gokai Galleon when I turns to Guy and says, let's get married.
I like how none of them actually can get out of questioning Dawn on this. It's like, when it comes to fixing the ship, Dawn is the boss.
You do what Mama says.
Yeah.
And of course, now we're back to the self-insert fanfic adventures of Guy Ikari.
Yeah.
Now, when you say it like that, it makes it sound lame.
I mean that with all the love and respect in the world.
No, this is... He clearly does not want this.
But they still had to get this out of the way because every Super Sentai has a wedding episode somewhere.
Well, they also have...
In which case, you have them every other week.
So basically, they plan to do the exact same thing that Shinkinger did back in, like, episode 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only with less cross-dressing.
Crotch-dressing?
Cross-dressing.
Oh. I put some crotch-dressing on your mom.
And then as they both approach the altar, there's a pause for a commercial break in animation, because I'm believing that's an Abba Ranger tribute.
It almost has to be.
I think it being a goofy episode in general is an Abba Ranger tribute.
Well, that too.
Was Dino Thunder like the, goofy?
What?
Was Dino Thunder goofy?
It had an entire episode that was them watching Abba Ranger.
Okay, for Dino Thunder, yeah, there was the episode where they watched Abba Ranger, because that was one of the episodes that was too goofy to adapt into Dino Thunder. They also had another episode of Dino Thunder where they took bits and pieces from several other episodes that were also too goofy to adapt and made them dream sequences.
Wasn't it like a comic book or something?
It could have been both.
I think there was something related to that, but the point is, Dino Thunder may have had its goofy moments-ish, but Abba Ranger was well beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, they also took out things like that could have been perceived as overly silly, like the mecha actually talking.
Yeah. Yeah, they talked through the changers.
Basically the precursor
like
to the...
Go-Onger?
Yeah, they're basically the precursor to Go-Onger's engine souls.
But, you know, with Abba Ranger, they were just lip-flapping the faceplate on the changers.
That's delightfully stupid.
Well,
it is.
That's Abba Ranger, I mean, you know.
Hey, Rangers, let's go. Nom, 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 nom.
And I think all the dinosaurs, like, in their talk with, like, you know, Tyrannosaur would say, Terra.
So, like, Carrigator.
Yeah.
It is basically the precursor to what they did in Goanger, yeah. I mean, that's the easiest way to look at it.
So, back to the episode.
Where were we?
commercial break.
And as they return, Guy is just barely saved from having to carry I'm over the threshold by the arrival of the monster.
Well, it's not like I'm can weigh more than, like, you know, 85, 90 pounds. That shouldn't be too hard.
It's still Guy.
I lift that.
And then we begin the I'm fantasy sequence. First, she's a schoolgirl asking for directions. Then she's a nurse who jabs the monster in the ass with that huge needle.
Which is a frightening mental image.
Yeah, there's no subtext there.
Well, this episode is all about frightening
roses.
Mental images.
Especially as she's tugging...
It would be so much better if it was roses.
Yeah, but especially as she's smiling, tugging on a staff.
And it finally ends when she's a police officer and smashes the staff.
Again, no imagery.
No,
And conveniently, the repairs on Gokaio are finished by then, so the others show up.
It's amazing what you can do with some plywood.
And duct tape, probably.
Yeah.
No, they just patched up the hole.
And of course, Guy takes
probably
the opportunity
had
to debug
the system error.
Powell didn't want to try that again without Fort Max.
Usually I do.
Yeah.
Of course, Guy takes the opportunity to rave about how awesome I'm is.
Yeah.
While taking pictures.
He takes another opportunity to rave when he recognizes someone from Abaranger.
But you forgot to mention that the whole time that I'm was going through her costume changes, Guy was snapping pictures with the Gokai Cellular.
Because like apparently it can do that now.
Well, there's a cell phone.
Yeah, what cell phone doesn't take pictures nowadays?
Even my...
Especially what Japanese cell phone?
Yeah,
yeah,
really. Like, the Bokanger Excellular, actually there's a spot that's painted in on the Japanese toy that's supposed to be a camera lens. So even back in 2006, they had that built in.
So anyway, Guy fangasms again when he recognizes Abba Blue, but then points out there's someone with him that he doesn't recognize.
Yes, that was played hilariously.
And someone I don't know.
Yeah, Guy has this perpetual look on her face when she pulls out that key, like, are you sure? Are you sure about this? I don't think.
And that key is awesome.
Yeah.
It's all just duct taped.
Well, they had to do something awesome for the 200th hero.
Yes! I'm like, that. Like, is that the entire reason that Ninja Man got shafted?
So anyway, they decide to use the now 6 Abaranger keys to finally finish off this monster.
Oh, poor I'm.
That was a little sad.
Poor I'm.
Yeah.
Speaking of silly things that got cut out of Dino Thunder.
Abba Pink, the bastard daughter of Orange Ranger and Shinken Brown.
And a little pudgy pig in there, too.
I'm correctly deduces that she won't be able to make a show of it in that costume. So the other 5 take care of it, as the Abaranger music plays, which is pretty awesome.
It's apparently definitely not as nice as the other costume she was wearing earlier.
No. Apparently Don needs to turn the Abaray black more often.
Yeah, he's actually competent that way.
Yeah, he's pretty badass, actually.
He usually is pretty badass.
But it is.
Whenever Don changes into a 6th Ranger, he kicks ass.
Yeah.
Like when he was Dragon Ranger.
Yeah. Oh, and... yeah, because he was the one that disabled the... bomb in that episode.
And didn't
evidently they're both Tommy forms.
And didn't he do pretty well the few times he's been Geeky Violet?
Yeah.
Because that's like a 6th Ranger minus 2, so.
It was an additional Ranger.
Yeah.
Those were the odd years.
And yet he was an even number. What?
When I say, go on.
So one final wave.
Sorry.
So one final wave later, they bust out the Megazords yet again to use the real ultimate power of the Abarangers, limb swapping.
It's so appropriate, too, because that was the first year that was a main gimmick.
Well, they did it kind of in Gowranger, too, but then again, that's everything swapping.
Yeah, Gowranger was Power Rangers Scramble City.
Dino, Opera Ranger was to step down from it.
And Guy Fangasms yet again because he's in the Gokai Galleon cockpit.
It'd be funny if he had broke it again by being in there.
Broke it with those drills?
Just by being Guy.
And of course, I do love the quip about when the when having to make the monster grow of, what's even the point of doing this for a guy with the guy who could change size himself anyway?
Well, it's hard to change size when you're dead. Episode. Hard to change size when you're dead.
Well, the thing was broken anyway.
That too.
Yeah, but she didn't know that.
No, she probably did.
Oh, yes, this is true. She knows everything that happens down there.
Yeah.
So the monster dies, and they spend the last few minutes of the episode ogling the pictures of Aim.
Of course.
Rhyme.
While Commander Nepotism gets hauled off on a stretcher.
To go die.
Unfortunately not.
Yes, because
all in all, this is a really good Pink Focus episode, I thought.
And a very good tribute episode. Even if Abba Ranger is f***ing insane.
It definitely made use of the skill of the actress who plays Aim, which is to be a model.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is what she does.
To be scary.
This is what she does professionally.
To be scary and cute at the same time.
Yeah. Well, she kind of showed that off in the Hurricaneer crossover too.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, she has moments of doing that, like in the episode with that crook, where she completely lied to everybody about about what the Zangak was doing. I actually felt so sorry for that monster.
Yeah, you know, observing from the outside, it's clear to see that Aim is every bit the pirate the others are. She's just more polite about it.
And that's what throws everybody off.
Yeah.
She's more subtle.
That's her secret power.
Canadianism?
That's her ultimate power.
Okay, well, that brings us to episode 30. So it's
treasure hunting again.
What, Paladin?
Treasure hunting again.
Yeah, it's time for another treasure navigation. And Navi directs the Gokaiger to look for the lion riding a skateboard. And alarmingly, guys ride on top of things identifying their target as Live Man's yellow lion.
I like how you find that alarming.
Well, he does have that handy encyclopedia now.
Actually, you saw there was a whole stack of them.
Yeah.
That he made.
Yes.
Well, they need multiple copies.
And nobody else reads.
Right.
I bet he just printed out of the Wikipedia for everything on Sentai.
No, he went to supersentai.com and ripped all their stuff off. But even with Guy's scary encyclopedic knowledge of Sentais, he still doesn't know where Yellow Lion would actually be now. So it's still time to go hit the streets and hunt for their treasure. Elsewhere, Zion, Zangak's greatest scientist, arrives, and we find out he's the one who made Barazog.
And plus your point they haven't discussed for the last 20 episodes.
Everyone is so impressed with Barazog for what?
Going back just a little bit, I love that moment where Don pops Guy's forehead, and then like Guy shoves Don's forehead back as hard as he can.
He's like, I have no idea.
Yeah, well, f*** you, Don.
Doc is awesome.
Yeah.
The next time they have an anniversary series, he's the Gokaiger that needs to come back.
Yes.
So since everybody in the Zangak crew is so impressed with Barazog's performance so far...
Oh, and not only that, Commander Nepotism stands at being well again.
Yeah. Gil hatches a fantastic plan to make up for being uselessly bedridden last week. I don't know what he's going to do about being so useless all the weeks before that, but one thing at a time. Back on Earth, the Gokaigers are trailing anybody who's on a skateboard, asking if they're members of Live Man. And Luca even questions a couple of children. While Guy says that it's not out of the question for kids to be Rangers, Live Man fought before he was even born. Way back in 1988. Doesn't that make you feel old?
Just a little bit.
It does.
Not really, yeah. I was two.
Shut up. Joe and I are searching.
Like that is why we hate you for it, Max. Not young.
Yeah, because you're even younger than Ken, aren't you? How old are you, Ken?
27 in November.
Yeah, that's so there you go. Yeah, you're fine.
Yay! I'm so horribly depressing all the other times.
You'll be getting gray hair before you know it.
And arthritis.
Hair.
Do you even have hair?
Oh, yes, yes. It's just my family has... they tend to lose it early.
Nice.
Yeah.
1 hour so lucky.
Just wait until your hands hurt every time the rain comes.
Awesome.
I can't stand the rain at my window.
Anyway, Joe and I were searching a park when a woman loses her baby carriage down a flight of stairs, which seems to happen an awful lot in Japan.
Holy Is it Dana Barrett?
At least it's not, you know, in Angel Grove Park.
Or a rock quarry.
Yeah.
Or they don't fight with the baby on a playground.
That was awesome. I'm sorry.
Or it's a baby in the middle of the power plant.
So Joe rushes after to catch it, and at the same time, another man rushes up from in front as well. Meeting in the middle and stopping the runaway baby, the passerby identifies himself as having a name also pronounced Joe. Small world, that Japan.
I will say this guy has aged very well.
Yes, no, like, I was from Jetman. That was a couple weeks ago.
Ha.
This is Joe.
Funny. Okay.
You know, Red Racer aged really well, too.
Yeah.
Obviously. Have you met his wife?
Somewhere there's a horrible painting of Red Racer. It just looks all monstrous and evil and old.
Just then, a crowd of people rush out from a building, and I'm and the Joes run in to see what's up. They find Zion making ready to leave with a boxer who he thinks will make an excellent specimen. Joe and I'm transform, and other Joe helps out by beating ass on the dump troops, remarking how it's just like... He remarked how it's just like riding a bike.
Actually, it was pretty impressive, I thought.
Oh, it was
yeah,
really
other
cool
Joe
looking.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
He said, screw this. I don't have powers. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, they're just dump troops. You always fight the foot soldiers without your powers.
Yeah, well, some others just kind of stand around sometimes when they're tribute episodes.
But this guy is cool. With Zion and his troops forced to retreat, the three find his smartphone with blueprints for Barazog. Seems that other Joe is a scientist, and Joe asks him if he'd be able to un-cyborg somebody with those blueprints as a starting point. The Joes leave for Joe's lab, with I'm left to go back to the galleon and fill in the others. And you see, even with two characters having the same name, I'm not having near as much trouble as you were with Luca and Doc.
Yeah, I knew you were getting there.
That's Doc
the whole
says.
The whole reason why the episode, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's the entire reason why he did this one.
Doc says that it wasn't just that boxer, and several other people have been kidnapped. The plan seems obvious. Mass production Barazog. Gil figures it'd be easy to conquer Earth with an army of strong, super loyal cyborgs like that. And on the galleon, Guy is enraged that the Zangek would do such a thing and wants to call Joe back to go find and hit Zion's secret base. Marvelous stops him and tells him to let Joe do his own thing. At Other Joe's lab, Other Joe goes over the data and figures out that the process of being turned into a cyborg can't be undone. The skills and knowledge may remain, but otherwise the original person is dead for all practical purposes. As Joe has a little flip-out over this, Other Joe tells him a story of old classmates of his who turned evil and tried to do some bad stuff, and how he wasn't able to save them in the end either.
Which I assume would be more poignant if any of us had actually watched Live Man.
Quite possibly, yes.
I've read
Big ups for Joe's actor acting in this episode.
Yes. I will say that.
Yeah.
He actually shows emotion and becomes a human being for the first time in the series.
Well, he showed it a bit in the Shinkenger episodes, too.
Not as much, though.
That was more of rage.
Yeah, rage is easy when you don't have emotions.
This is kind of the hopelessness of it is actually setting in.
Yeah.
It made me like his character a whole lot more.
It's broken down that whole cool thing he does the rest of the time.
Yeah, he just didn't break it down in front of everybody else, so he can still kind of maintain it.
Now he just needs to have hair like an actual human being.
Well, one thing at a time. Other Joe explains that he came back to the university after that to try to make sure none of the future generations of students would fall down that path again, since he believed that it's what his lost classmates would have wanted.
And
meanwhile, some of the current students are busy recreating the opening credits for Live Man.
Yeah, for a show I have not ever seen anything of, it feels like they do a really good job of giving you a feeling for it.
Yeah, I guess so. It's more than Decade did, anyway.
Yeah.
Although, honestly, I would like to see High School Fies. The Fies and Blade concept seem like something I'd really want to see fleshed out into more than just the Decade crossover.
Isn't that what we're getting with Forze?
Well, that doesn't really help the Blade thing, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, anyway.
So, in doing this, he feels like he's been able to at least save their spirits. Joe somehow finds inspiration from this, even though it makes no sense at all. And noticing a skateboard on his way out, realizes that this is the Live Man he was looking for the whole time.
No, I think it does work, though. It's like, if you can't physically save them, you can stop them from doing horrible things.
Yeah.
He can stop Sid from doing the things he would not have wanted to do, even if it means killing him.
Yeah. Yeah, and in Yellow Lion's case, Other Joe probably figures that doing what his classmates would have wanted to if they hadn't succumbed to the evil in the first place is carrying on for their wishes.
See, it's
all extremely Japanese of them.
Well, yes.
I'm serious. It's like the thing. It's the most cliche thing you see in every toku and anime ever. You know, you lose a friend and you carry on their will.
Yeah. Kind of used to it.
Unlike in America, when someone dies, we just want their money.
Yeah.
And sometimes their stereo. Although we've kind of moved past that point with iPods and everything. Meanwhile, the other Gokaijus are crashing Zion's party. And probably tossing his salad, too. But since there's only the five of them, Zion manages to freeze them in place, and they get blasted by Sigorman.
I did like how Doc just threw a rock at one of the Gorman's heads.
Yes, I want to make an animation of that and put a caption over it. I threw a rock at him.
It was a big rock.
Zion's ready to take the chance to roboticize them as well. Until Joe rushes in and cuts the shit out of Zion, giving the others a moment to recover.
I shouldn't have found that as funny as I did.
Guy gets shoved off to the side as the rest of the team does a change into Live Man.
He shoves himself off to the side this time.
When I say he gets shoved off to the side, I'm referring to how the scene is written.
Yeah.
They rip through the remaining dump troops easily and start handing Zion his own ass.
Along with the power of the awesome Live Man theme.
Yes.
Marvelous holds back Guy and allows Joe to move in to deliver the finishing blow himself, using Sid's special sword attack.
Which was nice, actually.
It's the first time since the Shinkanger episode.
Yeah, it's also the first time they've actually physically held Guy back from stealing a kill.
Yeah, I noticed too.
He didn't use it in a manner that, you know, actually destroyed a monster or anything. He tried to use it against Barry Zorg, and it just kind of failed.
Yeah. But it's a short-lived victory, as Zion is enlarged, of course.
Of course.
And so they use the Live Man's ultimate...
It always falls to her.
And so they use the Live Man's ultimate power, actually transforming Gokaio into Super Live Robo to defeat the Sigorman, and then finishing Zion with Hurricane Gokaio and a little bit of Gojujin.
Now when Gokaio becomes the Super Live Robo, I just love the shocked expression of Goju Rex.
I like how Guy takes that like a minute for exposition to say this is the first time that it was a combining robot.
No, it was the first time that it was combined from two other robots.
That was multiple robots, right?
Two.
Super Live Robo is made out of
Live Robo and Live Boxer.
Yeah.
Ah, gotcha.
Because Live Man, I believe, is set up sort of like Goanger was, where it's the three to start with, and then the other two are added on later, and they each have their separate Megazords.
Ah.
And eventually they can combine them into a five-piece Megazord Super Live Robo.
I just liked how he had a ton of time to explain it to the audience.
Yeah, that's the kid's Sentai history lesson.
pretty much.
Now you know.
It's actually a good mecha battle, I think, though.
Well, except for the Hurricane Gokaio part.
Oh, yeah, but it's just for the finisher.
Later that night, Joe has a moment of quiet reflection up in the crow's nest of the galleon.
While Beerzog is just standing on the bridge.
Reflecting in the window.
not mentally reflecting. just physically reflecting.
Joe is having some internal reflection and Beerzog is just having a reflection. And next week, O-Ranger.
And Bosco.
Yeah.
Good, Bosco should counteract the boringness of O-Ranger.
Only Bosco could make O-Ranger interesting.
One it also has Blue Centurion.
One thing I hope...
And Deca Master.
And Female Shinken Red.
Was there?
Bosco uses all of his extra keys at the same time.
That'll be interesting, I guess.
Yeah, your mother...
Well, a lot of those we've seen him use before in the series.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him use Signal Man or
Shinken
Red.
Magi Mother or...
No, he used Magi Mother.
Okay, yeah,
Magi
we haven't
before.
Seen him use Shinken Red or Signal Man, at least.
I wonder if there's a VRV...
an extra long trumpet solo for that one.
I wonder if there's a VRV Master key somewhere.
One thing I there hope...
No, he... No, there would
I know,
be.
He doesn't count.
I suspect he probably would have, like, been off drinking coffee again.
One thing I hope for after this episode is that I hope they don't puss out and actually have Joe kill Beerzog.
Well, he will eventually.
And I'm saying, I hope they do actually have him kill him instead
of
saving him.
Yeah.
Because after this episode, it feels like that's what needs to be done.
Yeah, pretty much.
It won't happen till the end, though.
Otherwise, it'd be a total cop-out.
I'm just really glad that they're not dropping this plot thread that was set up in the Shinkenger episodes.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the continuity that does come through Gokaiger eventually.
Yeah, because when they fought Beerzog in the Hurricaneger episode, it just kind of never even came up. And Joe was fighting him then.
Yeah, it's nice that they got back around to it.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break and come back to power playback before it's 11 o'clock.
That'd be
and
good.
Before your cow dies again.
Shh, it'll hear you.
Superhero Time, where your mom jokes go to die.
From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio, informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
It's time for Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Superhero Time's Power Playback every Friday afternoon on Twitter at TF Radio.
Okay, so this week's Power Playback is Go Onger because it's awesome.
It is awesome. Go Onger
really
is always awesome.
That's really all you need to know.
Also, it has great music.
It has fantastic music, and I only regret that Razorsaw can't hear us saying that right now.
Or Wingus.
Razorsaw...
I maintain that...
No, get back in their heads.
Razorsaw's cries of pain are more interesting to me than Wingus's. What?
What?
I don't know. Somebody was saying something.
So, the episode.
Yeah.
The episode, yes. So, the episode starts out with the police investigating disappearances around the city.
I like that they were using a setting I haven't seen 500 times before in Toei shows.
yeah, they were actually a real place.
Big city at night.
No, just a street block. Yeah, the street block they're using doesn't look like it's been used 300 times.
Or maybe it has during the day.
Yeah.
You don't really get a lot of night stuff in Toku.
No. Well, that and the scene following it, too.
Yeah, so we cut to the Go-Wanders walking through the city, patrolling, investigating the suspicious incidents of people disappearing. But Gunpei is convinced that's what they all should be doing. The rest of the team, though, thinks that Gunpei is being retarded because Bomper says there's no way the guy arc are involved with this.
Well, who are you going to trust more, so, the guy with the forehead or the little robot dude?
Bomper is very trustworthy. Bomper wouldn't stab you in the back at all. So while they're busy fussing with each other, a manhole cover heads down the alley and kidnaps a woman.
Oh, look, a plot hole has appeared. Because you see, it's a hole relating to the plot.
A Mexican plot hole.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
Anyway, the Goanders hear the scream, they head in the alleyway, and they confront Manhole Bunky, or whatever his name actually is.
That's his name.
Okay, I assumed it was, but sometimes they use the Japanese name for it anyway. Anyway, so they all met
What is the Japanese word for manhole cover?
Huh?
What is the Japanese word for manhole?
Maybe it's manhole.
Or possibly your mom.
Manhole a few more times.
Maybe it's Gentaro.
So the Goanders pull up their Mantan guns and blast away at the manhole bunkie until he jumps away, leaving just enough time for the cops to come around the corner and to arrest them.
Holy crap, cops and Sentai?
That never happens.
I believe we actually had this conversation a few weeks back.
This is actually why we picked this episode.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Inspiration!
And when I saw the cops arrest him, I could swear they had orange-tipped guns for a second.
This is America.
Well, yeah, you know.
Japan. They don't do that shit there.
Yeah, I know. It's just my stupid brain.
So after we boom, boom, bomb, bong through the opening, we cut to the Goanders in a chicken cage, apparently. And they're all yelling and screaming to be let out.
Apparently it's a little more secure than the chicken cage on Bosco's ship.
No,
either that or they're just a little less competent than the Gokaijers. Either one is possible.
So, Gunpei's old detective partner comes and recognizes who they are and that they shouldn't be locked up. So he buys them a whole bunch of Katsudon, which, best ex-partner ever. And plus, this is probably the first time the Goanders have had food that wasn't eggs in months.
Are they just seen eating frequently? Because there's another scene in the same episode where they're just eating as they're talking.
They do a lot of eating. Unfortunately, almost 90% of what they eat is omelets.
Speaking of explosive runs.
I'm feeling much better, by the way.
The Blue Ranger is the chef, and all he ever makes is eggs.
Well, there's the implication through several episodes that that's really all they can afford to have anyway.
Yeah.
Didn't they do barbecue at some point, too?
No, the Go On Wings made barbecue for them. Because they have money.
Yeah, and they don't share any of it with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Wings have money, but they make the other guys still live in that stupid bus. With the TARDIS on the back of it.
It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah.
I was about to ask that, actually.
Yeah, it's much bigger on the inside.
Did they seriously come out of what? Huh?
The best theory anybody comes up with for that is that Bomper added something onto their bus to put a room on it. Bomper told them to get a room.
And so they did.
Yeah.
So back at the Guy Arc base, Kagureshia and... Oh, shit, what is his name?
Kidanides.
Yes, Kidanides. They're playing sevens on the floor.
Which apparently doesn't work with two people.
Because you know what other cards the person has already.
So I'm guessing the third guy got taken out by this point?
No, Yogostein is off in mourning after his protege got killed like 10 episodes ago.
Oh, okay.
And came back as a ghost twice.
They were probably
f***ing. Oh.
Well, you know, it is Japan.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that even is supposed to mean, but it seemed like the thing to say at that point.
It's Japan is the explanation for everything.
Yeah, my only disappointment with this episode that we chose is that we don't get to see the villains drinking at the bar on their base.
Yeah. Well, we can do another go on
Guy Arc love to get lit.
So, while the Goanders eat eggs, the Guy Arcs
drains it up.
And the wings are busy being rich in their mansion.
And not giving a f***.
Oh, damn. That explains my... That explains the other question of where are they?
Where are who?
The wings for half the episode.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't like the Go-Wangers.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That suddenly makes me want to watch this even more.
Although, if you watch episode, 26, I think, Miyu maybe likes Sosuke a little bit.
Yeah, but...
Nothing ever comes of that.
In general, though, they think the Go-Wangers are f***ups.
and in general, they're not entirely wrong.
The Go-Wangers are f***ups, but unlike the Go-Sagers, they f*** up in good ways. They get things done.
Yes.
And they don't look like f***ups, at least not completely.
And when they do f*** up, it's their own damn business.
And he's going to have so many things to edit in this episode.
It'll be fine. It's all in one little stretch together.
You can just cut the whole segment out. Yeah, the Go-Wangers and the Go-Sagers are like polar opposites, the flip sides of the same coin.
Yeah. It's like two faces. Anyway, it's like two faces coin where the one side's all scratched up and ruined.
Yeah, that's the Go-Sager side.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Gunpei and his former partner, who even though he bought them awesome food, still looks really greasy and gross.
It does.
Well, he's a policeman. They're off,
yeah.
It is
they're
fried pork.
They're disappearance scenes to try and figure out what's going on.
And they figure out what the disappearing people have in common.
So this is whole...
And it's total shit.
It's a bit contrived, I'll give you that.
Yeah, Gaiarc's... that's an interesting plan. It's certainly unique.
Well, let's put it this way. This is not something that would...
It's a Gaiarc plan. That's...
Okay.
I would actually say it's a little bit extreme, even for a Gaiarc plan. I don't think this is something that would really happen if Yogo Stein was actually around that day. Because he'd just, like, conk their heads together and, you know, send them back to the bar.
Awesome.
Or just drew stuff out of a hat to make their plan.
The problem with this plan is that the Gaiarc's plans all revolve around making the Earth dirty so it's more comfortable for them to live in. And this plan doesn't have nothing to do with that, really.
Well, it does involve blowing up a city.
That would probably make some filth.
Yeah.
But in general, though, it's not nearly as focused as the other plans of, like, pollute the water supply or so on and so forth.
Well yeah, Yogo's time's been gone for 10 episodes.
See, this is why they need Vengix. Maybe even Tenaya.
No, Tenaya would just introduce herself.
And then lose a hand.
And then go host a show on G4.
Well, that's about as low as you can think.
Does she not look like a host
really.
Of a G4
She's
show?
Not on Samurai.
Am I wrong in that? Or
what was that last part?
I could sort of see it, but
she's like a generic Morgan Webb.
Well, I mean, all you really need to be a host on G4 is breasts and no talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just look at all of the previous hosts of Attack of the Show.
Hi, Olivia Munn.
Oh, she sucks.
Oh.
I am at least reassured of your good taste, Ken.
That's actually probably how she got the job.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Your feminine wiles are wasted on me, Olivia Munn.
I'm guessing she's collected a nickel or two by this point.
Anyway, okay.
Back to what matters.
Back in the apartment here. We get some nice inside info of what the hell happens in the Sentai universe regarding the police. They're not allowed to investigate these monster crimes.
Yeah,
it's out of their jurisdiction.
I found that interesting.
Obviously, they learned from Angel Grove and developed their own special regulations for monster attacks.
They'll leave it to the people in colored spandex.
Well, it's been going
not spandex.
33 years now, so they better have adapted something to handle this shit.
Thank you, Paladin.
So, the detective guy reveals that's the reason why he's involved in Gunpei is because... This is Gunpei's area of expertise now, and since he can't officially investigate these monsters...
He will investigate the kidnappings instead.
Right.
clever workaround, at least.
Well, he wasn't Gunpei's senior partner for nothing.
So as they leave the scene, they walk around the city talking about things, and Gunpei whips out Gunpurge to sniff this lady's bag.
Which is amazingly not a euphemism.
I'm even by Goan's logic, I'm not quite clear how a hologram has a sense of smell.
Well, regardless of that, this is the one aspect of Goanger I like better than RPM.
That the engine avatars?
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole gimmick worked great because it doubled the size of the hero cast.
Yeah.
See?
Which is probably why it never happened again.
Yeah.
Because it doubled the size of the cast.
Yeah, they had to hire all those voice actors too. But, yeah, that was one thing that they didn't show much in Shinkinger versus Goanger, so it's not something I've seen that much yet. Because that's the only thing of Goanger I've seen.
Yeah, it works out really well because all the engine cells are really likable characters.
Yeah,
they actually
and
do
they
give
all play off the Goangers really well.
Do they actually give them decent screen time then?
Oh yeah,
Lord, yes, yeah, they're actually important members of the cast.
Okay, Ken, episode 26 I was talking about before is basically a Bearer V focus episode.
See, that's what I'm always afraid of with large casts, and that. It'll just be large for the sake of being large.
Like
no,
your mom.
Because the engine cells either complement or contrast the Rangers they're attached to.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
And the best avatar is Jumbo Whale.
Yes.
With his captain's hat.
And mustache.
Monocle and mustache.
Yeah, apparently I need to see one of them.
I love the engine avatars. I want plushes based on them.
Oh, hell yes.
Be surprised they didn't make them when it was on.
I think they made like, you know, cell phone charms or keychains or something.
Keychains, I know.
Yeah.
Back to Gunford's sense of smell. Probably less the hologram, more the, you know, engine soul.
That just raises further questions.
So that's where I left my cigar.
Well, regardless, it doesn't really work out that well anyway.
Eventually, Gunpei has a flash of inspiration, an epiphany of what the guy are kidnapping these people for.
That is a large leap of logic.
That's Gunpei.
That's Gunpei.
Oh, God. Okay, then.
That leap of logic is not uncommon for him.
He's my favorite Goanger.
Yes.
And not undeservedly.
He should be the one to come back.
Well, that's what I've been saying.
Well, I'm agreeing.
Okay.
So, the guy arc are stealing people that are champion pin spinners.
So they can
because
use
spinning
the sound
a pin at a certain frequency will charge up their machine to blow up the city.
Their machine that looks like an antique phonograph.
Yes. Well, that machine will probably build the machines that will blow up the city or something.
No, it builds a machine that throws a catapult that builds a machine to build the machine that blows up the city.
Further proof that the guy arc have been to the bar way too
They live at the bar.
Wow, that
exactly.
Explains so many things about Goanger.
I love Goanger so much.
I need to rewatch it.
Geki Ranger is my first Sentai, but Goanger is my favorite Sentai.
Yeah, I wish Goanger hadn't been my first, because it made adapting to anything else really, really hard.
Well, adapting to Shinkanger was hard, regardless of that, just because Goanger preceded it.
See, I missed Goanger because I got back into Sentai through Shinkanger, so...
Now, what we need is a Goanger Car Ranger crossover.
Oh
shit!
My.
Yes,
and you know if the Guy arc and the Bowzok met, they could compare their bars because they both have them in their bases.
Well, that was probably intentional then.
Well, the bar is their base too. So,
and Kegarishia's actress was a former porn star, and the female villain character in Car Ranger was as well, if I remember right.
Oh, wow.
And this also the, Gibson's planet is also filled with reused Car Ranger props. Well, Car
I'm
Ranger...
sure they all spent time at that pool, too.
The only question is, was that the same time?
Well, probably.
So back to the pen spinning.
So Gunpei gathers a team all together to reveal his cunning plan. Everyone go out there and practice spinning pins, and we'll see if we can lure them out.
But because none of the Goandrews are really adept at this, Gunpei has brought in a tutor.
And who is the tutor?
Hiroto!
Go on gold!
Because he's good at everything. Man, it's like we're reading off the same script.
It's because we know Go on gold.
Yes. Also the bee.
That's right, he was the bee, wasn't he?
Well, he was A the bee. Yes, A the bee.
Bees.
My yes, god.
Hiroto
no,
was
not
former,
the bee!
He was formerly a queen bee.
Killer bees, Laszlo. Okay.
Anyhow.
So, they all head out into the city to practice pin spinning.
And for some reason, they're in disguises.
Yes, Go on Gold and Silver go out dressed as school people. And they remark that we don't really need to be dressed like this.
It's just a cosplay week for us, isn't it?
And again with the, yeah.
Amazingly, Hanto is not dressed in drag.
Yes, I'm kind of disappointed that he did not end up with Saki's disguise.
God.
Speaking of Saki, we don't get to see how crazy she is in this episode.
No.
But they're still cross-dressing.
Hi, Sosuke.
Sosuke makes a surprisingly convincing old woman.
Not sure what that says.
Me either.
I love Ren's old man costume of the mustache, too.
And his white wig that does not cover all of his hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, the mustache was a nice touch. Like Japanese people can grow facial hair.
Date?
Well, here's the thing. They're old. That's how long he's been growing that mustache.
He's never shaved in his life.
And with Date, it's just that he needs to wash his face more often.
What has he been doing? Never mind.
So yes, after 5 seconds of the disguise thing.
Detective and Gunpei are doing their pin spinning when Manhole Bunky shows up to capture the detective.
He's apparently
but
really
Gunpei
good at it.
Tosses him out of the way and drops Gunpur down the hole, so he dives in after him.
Gunpur go down the hole.
Elevator go up.
No, sun goes up.
Sagozo?
Look, we gotta keep this real, so move along.
Okay, yes.
We are not doing that. We are not. No, we're not doing that sequence of jokes for a third time. We are not doing that again.
Oz is over.
It never ends.
And it's right on time. Regret nothing.
Tighten up, dude.
XP has the worst case of indigestion he's ever had.
Actually, I'm feeling a lot better now.
Oh,
no.
God, now we're two different things.
This is what Goandra does to people.
This is like an infinite cycle of terror.
It's the climax that never ends.
It just goes on and on, my friends.
Some people started climaxing not knowing what it was. See, what Goandra does is it takes the seriousness out of everything.
It makes everything joy and happy.
Yes! And we're only halfway through the episode. Keep going, Mickey.
Okay, so Detective runs back to get the rest of the Goandras for help, and then quickly delves into a flashback of how he knows Gunpei or some shit. Basically, Gunpei left the force because he wasn't allowed to fight monsters.
And then the point of the flashback is that despite everything he's told them, Gunpei was not a detective.
Actually, that really wasn't the point of the flashback. That really wasn't the point of the flashback. The point of the flashback was the Goandras. The Goandras came and saved him, and he was so enamored with them that he quit the police force to go become one of them. And so we lead into episode 1.
Where he's stalking them.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And he's wearing this awesome leather trench coat deal.
Which also happens a lot in Sentai, I think.
Stalking leather trench coat.
Yes.
Yes.
I love the beginning of Go Under, how Gunpei is stalking them to join them, and Hunter kind of drives by and gets sucked into it all.
Yeah. He never even had a choice. Because Gunpei just kind of grabs him and drags him along. Him and his poor little delivery scooter thing.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
Yes. You team up.
I don't think that would work out as well as you think.
They'd both get so much... Well, no, I guess they wouldn't get anything accomplished.
No. Okay, moving
anyway,
on.
Flash down to the villain's secret pin-spinning laboratory. They've got people chained to desks, one arm chained to the chair, and the other arm chained to the desk so they can keep spinning pins.
Diabolical.
It's such a go-on-ger thing.
And they've got the cogs, or whatever the f*** they're called, beating the people who stop spinning spins.
Grinders.
Ugas. Yeah.
Sure. You know, when I first got back in the Sentai with Shinkenger, it was, you know, a bit more serious. Takes itself a bit more seriously. So I look back at this, it's like, it's goofy. I think I'll just move on. I should have gone back.
Yeah.
Yes, you should have.
Damn right.
So, Gunpei gets chained to the chair to start his pin spinning, but he
sucks at it so much the Ugas come and beats him.
Yeah.
They knock him over, and he manages to toss his morpher up in the air, exchange the cells, and morph with one arm.
Because he's that awesome.
He's Gunpei.
And he gives Gunpei a face while doing it. Gunpei face is when you bug your eyes out and you sort of pull your lips back over your gums, and you're kind of half grimacing in pain and half laughing maniacally at the same time.
I made your mother do that once.
Wow.
And then it's on.
Yes. Manhole Bunky shows up and they begin the fight.
And then Gunpei goes dual wielding his Mantan gun and his cowl laser. Like a badass.
A very good Kaiju of him.
Yeah, I love that.
Actually, it's
Gunpei's
very...
character weapon is just a bigger gun.
It's not very Gokaiger of him. It's very Go-Go 5 Red of him.
V.
Go Red.
Whatever. If I say Go-Go 5 Red, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So they continue battling. Eventually, they pop out to the side of a warehouse where the rest of the Go-Under team is catching up to them somehow.
After destroying the phonograph city-destroying thing.
Oh, yeah, I suppose that was important, too, but, you know, whatever. That was going
to
happen anyway.
It was important because it put an end to that horrible high-pitched whining sound that was going through that entire scene.
Yeah, I thought for sure that was my computer for a minute.
What is it doing to your computer?
Never mind.
I didn't like it.
It's the same sound the dog makes. So it's just best not to ask.
I won't.
It was furry unkind of him.
Oh, but speaking of reused locations, the warehouse they fly out in front of is the same one from Sosuke Bunky.
Isn't that also one where I think in O's La Torita fought one of Gamel's monsters?
I'm sure it is.
Because that's what first pops in my head. It's like, didn't they rescue Hina from there?
Probably. The rock quarry was booked that week.
Actually, that's probably on the rock
quarry.
They're
out of there that week.
Yeah, they just flop back and forth every other week.
So anyway, they used the super highway buster to take down the manhole guy. But then,
the
guy
arc... Industrial Revolution time.
Yeah.
Because the guy arc begin the download.
The Bikrium energy filler.
Which makes perfect sense.
So then we get G9 of Gunpurd basically shooting a bunch of manhole covers.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
As cool as G9 can nice look that... in costume anyway.
Yeah.
I like that even in G9 form, one of the engines can still have a focus scene.
Yeah. That's impressive.
And Sosuke gets his name wrong, it seemed like.
Hmm?
Well, he just left off the end of it.
He always leaves off the D.
He's all tenacious, no D. Anyway, so
box, 2 minutes.
Shut up.
We get to the one downside of Goanger is that the Zord finishing attacks are typically pretty dull. They just do energy soul shots at the monsters.
I don't know. I kind of like G12's finisher.
And the G9 Grand Prix is actually pretty cool looking anyway.
Gee, I wonder what Gohan Gokaio is going to look like. Finisher is going to look like.
Yeah, really.
Like a cluster.
See, I would hope that...
Death by engine wrap.
I would hope
there's
that...
There's worse ways to go.
I would hope that Gohan Gokaio's finisher would be the energy forms of every previous Megazord.
Oh, God.
At the same time.
Yeah.
A tsunami of Megazords.
Yes.
It is a final form.
In bad taste now.
It would be just like Guy's super mode final wave, except with Megazords.
Yeah.
That would be nice, actually.
All the Megazords.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Well, because Gohan Gokaio does let it combine with Gojujin too, right?
Yeah, it creates the power of cluster.
Yeah, so there you go.
Because that is the greatest strength of Goanger.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, that and the booze.
The ultimate power of Goanger is to combine everything. Of course, that could have just as easily been Shinkanger's ultimate power, too.
Yeah.
So in the epilogue, we get some delightful scenes of Sosuke acting. Where they all gang up on Gunpei to let him know, hey, you lied to us about being a detective.
Everybody except Go on Gold.
Because he doesn't care. He's already left.
Yeah,
well,
he's in the process of leaving. With Hirota, it's more a matter of just not giving a f***.
Exactly.
That looks like Miyu pitches in.
So that was Goanger, and...
Yep.
It was
insane,
awesome.
But in the best kind of way.
And yeah. We get ending rap number 4, Burka.
And he also won the race in the commercial break.
I think the only time he ever won it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe that's the only time in the entire series that he came in first.
And so, he was surprised.
Is that the race? Okay, I see what you mean.
At the commercial break.
I wasn't even paying attention to that.
Good job.
It's a different car every time. Sometimes it's who the focus episode is, but sometimes it tricks you.
Yeah.
Such as in this case.
Although, yeah. I'm kind of thinking that since the preceding episode was a Hanto focus and the Burka won the commercial race and it was his ending rap, that they might have accidentally switched what went to what episode.
Probably.
Because otherwise it doesn't make a lot of sense.
You know, the engine rap is still my favorite ending to any Sentai show.
I did love that at the end of Shinken versus Gohan.
It's not just the song, but I love that dance they do. It's so stupid. I love that they're all grinning and smiling and pointing fingers, and they throw an orange around on the beach. It's glorious.
You should go watch the ending of Magiranger sometime. They do a dance, too.
Oh, do they? Oh, I need to see that then.
Yes.
They do. If you watch check out the ending to the Magiranger movie, it's even more special.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I kind of like the engine rap for being like 18 verses long. With all the different variations and such.
And another thing that Goanger does that I really wish they'd bring back is the Goanger school at the end of the episode where they have a trivia question.
Yeah, that was the last series that did the trivia or seminar, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, because Bokinger did it for the previous 30 series.
And Geki Ranger did their Beastars Academy thing that talked about some function or weapon from the episode.
While Magiranger covered spells and
such.
Yeah,
I don't know. Did Decaranger do that?
Yeah, Decaranger did something. It was like.
Hell, then what did Decaranger do?
Like the opening thing would start up, and then it would go off into it. I mean, the ending thing would start up, I should say.
Sorry, when I think of Decaranger, the ending is usually the last thing on my mind. I'd have to watch some more of it again to find out what they did.
I forget what it was, but I knew it was something.
The point is, though, that Goanger was the last series that did anything like that, which is
sad. It was wonderful.
Yes, it's sad that none of the others have done it since, although I really wouldn't care to watch the Ghost Agers attempt that.
I think it's for the best that we don't.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the Go-Kiders attempt it, though.
Well, yeah.
It'd mostly be just be Guy, probably.
Oh, well.
Maybe they'll do one in the Go-Onger episode.
No, probably not. I have high hopes for the Go On Your crossover episode of Go-Kiger since it is introducing a new toy, an important new toy.
I hope it's a two-parter.
It'll probably be.
I think it will be.
Probably won't be awesome like the Hurricanger episode was, where it's like a hidden crossover, but...
Could be.
It would probably be difficult to get 5 or 7 actors back for that all at once. You know.
Oh, well. So what's up next week?
Deno.
Yay.
For no good reason.
Sure.
Episodes 23 and 24, introducing wing form.
Oh.
Yay.
See, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with Deno, there's really nothing to call out any specific episode, so that's just what I hit with a dart.
As good a practice as any.
Sure. Okay, so I guess that's the show for this week.
Another good 3-hour show.
Well, it would have been shorter if my connection hadn't died for 20 minutes.
And if Ken had taken forever to do 2 episodes.
Well, it'll probably be better next week because we won't have 2 episodes at a time to work with. Maybe.
Hopefully.
No, we're going to switch the show to an every other week format just so it'll take so much longer to do.
Oh, actually, if you look at it from another way, it takes less time to do it this way.
Well, it takes longer when we're doing it, though.
But on the whole.
On your mom's whole.
It didn't take as long as I thought it was going to take, so.
Yeah, I thought Ken's rundown
of quote for the week.
I thought Ken's rundown of the episode were at least, you know, less horribly long than some of the other ones he's done.
Yeah, these were actually shorter than the episode.
Gee, thanks. And trying to improve. Just a little.
Well, you'll get there eventually if I keep throwing things at you.
I figured that's
eventually you'll learn to dodge.
Paladin tried to dodge this week too, but it didn't really work.
It never works.
The important thing is that I didn't have to talk about Forza.
Yes. Well, as long as we don't have multiple episodes to do on a week, we can probably arrange for that to continue in the future.
That would be much pleasant, which means you're not going to do it.
You'll just have to endure Ken talking about it on a weekly basis.
Eh, I can live with that.
Unless I feel like doing it for some reason, which so far, no. It's more fun to just make Ken suffer through it.
Or you just throw Wingus under the bus again.
He's so good for that, too.
I could practically see the deer caught in headlights look when you told him to do it last week. As I know this because I had the same thing a couple months ago.
Well,
I don't think we managed to talk him out of liking fours.
Well, you'll have to keep trying then.
Or that Go-Kiger episode.
Again, you'll have to keep trying.
What was the other thing we did then?
Bioman.
There was something else we brought up. That he said he'd be pretty mad if we talked him out of liking it.
Anything goes. Dygar?
Oh, was it just anything goes?
I think it might have been Gal Gygar.
I don't think it's possible to talk him out of liking Gal Gygar.
No, I don't think so either.
You'll still try.
Well, the challenge would be interesting, but I don't think I'd really get anywhere with it.
Kinda
all right.
Like Fort Max's mother.
Okay, so that's it for us this week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
So long.
Good night.
Later.
Later.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
So, is that it for this week?
I don't know. Is there anything else to talk about?
The French opening for Live Man.
The French opening for Live Man.
Oh, is that what you posted?
Yes.
Okay. I was watching on mute, so I guess I didn't get the French part out of it.
French is not a very visual language.
Bioman 3.
What were the first two?
I'm hoping
the first one was
Bioman.
Man. The second I...
Bioman.
The second I think was Mask Man.
Well, okay then.
What? I'm a little lost here.
France aired Bioman and it was successful, and they brought it back as Bioman 2 and 3.
So they... Mask Man and Live Man.
Right.
So they kind of
Power Rangers season 2 and 3.
Yeah, I was just going to say they kind of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers did.
So they were just dubbing it.
Well, a little different, but yeah, I mean, weird. Too bad they didn't do that with Dynaman. Of course, that would have required them to do more than, you know, 7 episodes.
They could have done a simulcast, couldn't they?
As long as they cook the tuna.
Too bad that can never happen again. Oh well.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.